go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And improbable as it may seem, here we are again, another week of independent, beholden to nobody but the people what wants to listen to it broadcasting. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That is where you go if you want to jump into the rousing, rowdy, real-time experience that is the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room. And in fact, that's what you click at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Chat room. Boom. Bang. You're there. You pick a screen name. You pick a password, and well, you'll be in there in the good and pleasant company of News Ninja Carol Baker, Gerald, Jeremy, Jug of Punch, Lance, Man Cave, and Sparky, who are one and the same person working to clean up after the flood. Michael will join you. You'll be joined by Steve, Sentient. You'll be in the company of Texas T, and like I said, in the capable and careful and long-time, indefatigable hands of chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. Good evening, one and all. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is Moran Monday on The Horn. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it really, really is Moran Monday. I mean, they're apparently free. We've got free-range morans this Monday, and a passel of them, to say the very least. Now, I mentioned that this program is beholden to nobody but them that wants to hear it. What the other version of that is, this is a broadcast effort that has been going on for nearly, well, it has been going on for 10 years now. 9 of it on the interweb tubes alone, more than 9. And the fact of the matter is, we exist not by selling ads to people who want to sell you a vacuum cleaner that'll pick up a bowling ball and drop it on a Swedish mattress that you're lying on, having just taken some capsules of some sort of various and sundry herbs that will cause either chia or hair to grow on your bald pate. Or, in fact, to cause you to have a boner for the ages. Right. And that twinkle that goes, ding, you know, on your smile when you smile. Now, there's no talk here of buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold. Gold is your best hedge against inflation. Buy gold now. Buy high and we'll buy high and sell it to us cheap and you'll be the chump that you are. Buy gold now. None of that here. None. Occasionally we do have a premium. To thank people who give at a certain level, who contribute to keep all of this going, because this is not, you know, this is not an access thing. There are apparently thousands of people who listen to this program and are unable to contribute, and a little handful of people make it possible for everybody else to. So we'd like to have some way of saying thank you, and during this interim, when Sparky is so busy cleaning up after a climate change flood there in Northern California, we have a replacement premium. Since the pistachios and the smoky ghost pepper cheese are temporarily on hiatus, returning, Sparky said, say, long about January-ish. It just so happened, because that's the way the universe makes things work, that I have access, through a very dear friend, to probably the single most unique premium I've ever heard of. Over the course of tens of thousands, if not more than 10,000 years, people along the native peoples along the marges of the Great Lakes harvested what was already growing there wild, and it grows there wild to this day. It's wild rice. Sure, you can buy it off the shelves at your local grocery store, and maybe it, you know, maybe it's loaded up with lead or arsenic or mercury or whatever from the various and sundry things that get sprayed on it. But not this. Not this. This is wild rice from the clean, pristine waters up by Lake Superior. And if you would like a pound of it, just contribute $100 to the Horn. And I will see to it that it arrives to you, hopefully in time for your holiday feast, because it makes a beautiful addition to your holiday table. It adds a certain cachet of realness to the feast. I'll send it along, and you will enjoy immensely. If you want that, just use the PayPal interface at headonradionetwork.com and tell me where to mail it. And I will see to it that it's on the way to you, because it's on the way to me right now. It is not a hedge against inflation, although one might argue there has never been a better time to support the Horn and get a pound of hand-harvested, hand-processed, in the same way as it has been processed through the ages, wild rice. Okay, so again, that's how that works. Beyond that, we try to raise $150 an evening, $150 to keep this little operation going. We have a ton of bills. I paid a bunch in the last week, but, you know, at the beginning of every month, there's about between $1,700 and $2,000 worth of bills we pay. Because Merca. And so, either by traditional U.S. Postal Service mail or by PayPal, that's how we get it done. So hopefully that will happen in short order, and I won't say anything more about it for the remainder of the program. Yeah. Or not. Yeah. It's entirely up to y'all. It is. Yes, of course. Yeah. No getting around it. Mm-mm. No, it's the 8th of December, but it's also Monday. It is so Monday.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, step right up, you will not believe your ears. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, we have for your delectation, your appreciation, your shock, your horror, your amusement, your amazement, and your general edification, morons. We have right-wing morons, birther morons, deather morons, tenther morons, booger-eating morons, bircher morons, libertarian morons, repig-licking morons, of every size, scale, type, and variety. That's right, that's right, that's right. For less than a nickel an hour of programming, you too can experience moranity of the right-wing variety in all its rich abundance. You can't tell the morons without a program, and this is the program that tells the morons. You just can't tell them much. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. We do advise parents of small children, men and women, to hold on to their packages, their children, their wallets, their purses, their bags, because, of course, the morons do tend to get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morons.
Oh, it's the freaking truth, too. I mean, it only takes a weekend to crank out an entirely new stack of the things. They get around. This is a follow-up, Moran. And it's a, I guess you could say it's a, law enforcement, Moran. You remember the story? Gosh, it would have been in the height of summer. It was the law. It came around along about the middle of the second week of August. It was the story of a young man who had been displaced by Hurricane Katrina years before and had decided to move to a place that comes off as being more enlightened, more humane, more sane. The young man had relocated to Seattle, Washington, where he was going to the mall one day and happened to walk past a group of people protesting the slaughter of innocents at that time going on in Gaza. Wasn't even part of the protest. But along the way, one of the typical people that show up to scream at people who speak up for the rights of Palestinians was ripping at his shirt and swearing and spit on the young man, who then turned around thinking he was about to have to fight. At which point, a police officer intervened, pepper sprayed the young man who had done nothing. Do I have to tell you he was blah? Because he was. And even though people were yelling to tell the cop, you got the wrong guy, you got the wrong guy, you got the wrong guy, went ahead and arrested him falsely anyway. Well, that case has finally wound its way. By the way, the whole time, if you watch the video, you can see the provocateur standing there and having ripped his shirt and everything, standing there watching it all go down, I'm sure chuckling merrily to himself. Well, the Seattle City Attorney's Office reviewed the tape, reviewed the incident, reviewed the uncontrovertible proof of the officer pepper spraying the wrong guy, and have decided that the officer is blameless in it and no charges will be filed. By the way, even as the police officer is pepper spraying the wrong guy, the guy who provoked it all is still yelling, still screaming, still walking toward the security guard. Yeah. No charges will be filed. Because apparently in America, if you're blah, you get your ass pepper sprayed because you've probably done something somewhere along the way to deserve it. Right? Sure. Because Merca. Let's see. Among other things, the Seattle City Attorney's Office said, well, the white guy obeyed the cop's command to disengage. No, he didn't. You see it in the video. Meanwhile, the young man who got pepper sprayed, and his name is Wilford. And by the way, just in case you had forgotten this, because I remember discussing it, just in case you had forgotten some of the details, the white guy who started it all was standing there screaming towelhead and sand N-word at the people who were protesting against Israel's use of incredibly deadly force against, you know, infants in their cradles. Yeah. Mr. Wilford's lawyer said, it seems that the prosecutor decided to buy the security guard's version and to ignore my client's version. Even under the version of events cited by the prosecutor, if it were true, the security guard would be guilty of assault. There is a requirement of proportionality in Washington State. All Wilford did was take a half step toward the security guard with his hands at his sides. Even if Wilford was issuing profanities, that hardly warrants macing, handcuffing, and imprisoning him. Because, again, Merca. Freedom! Right? That, another little account this afternoon, inspired me to a bit of doggerel. They will kill you if you're black, or if you're not. And that's a fact. They will shoot you, choke you, even sometimes electrocute you. They will kill you with your hands in plain view. Kill you if you're Muslim, Hindu, Christian, Jew. Police will kill you, you thug you. And Fox will say you had it coming, too. You had it coming because you're fat. Had it coming because of your hat. Had it coming because you're bigger. Had it coming because you're a asthmatic. Had it coming, they'll insist. Because with hands up, you did resist. They'll kill you if you have downs while you're laying on the ground. They'll kill you if you're 12 and swear you look 20 to they themselves. Police will kill you, you thug you, and they'll do it for all to see and in plain view. Then a prosecutor will get a no true bill and put the killer on ABC because they paid half a mil. Then with money jingling in the till, he'll tell the world it was God's will. It was the Wilford story and another that sent me off down that couplet-laden lane. This is a... Even with things not unfolding the way they're unfolding, this is a damn difficult time of year. I've gotten to where in the last few years I can feel it coming from a mile away. The loss of light, the diminution of the day, the advance of the cold. And by the time we get to about this time of year, I'm in a funk. I think I'm one of those seasonal affective disorder syndrome people. I need the sun. But it always, and there's always something to make it worse. Headline, grand jury refuses to indict cops who killed man with Down syndrome who wouldn't leave movie. The story is accompanied by a photograph of the former member of the human race who was killed by police. This case happened a while back in Maryland. I mean, the time frame can be established by the movie that he was watching. As of this past Friday, the announcement came out from a grand jury in Maryland that they will not indict cops in Frederick County, Maryland, for the deliberate and obvious killing of a man by the name of Robert Ethan Saylor, who up until that forlorn day in which he decided he wished to go and see Zero Dark Thirty, had spent some 26 years upon this planet. Frederick County State's Attorney J. Charles Smith. No, the J does not stand for jackass. Now quit that. Said, they felt no further investigation was necessary. Speaking of the grand jury. Because what happened is, Robert Ethan Saylor, age 26, wanted to go to the movies. He wanted to see Zero Dark Thirty. And he saw Zero Dark Thirty. But having seen it once, he wanted to see it a second time. Remember, Mr. Saylor was born with Down syndrome. So the movie theater called the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department sent three members of its squad, three deputies, who boldly marched into the movie theater, grabbed Robert Ethan Saylor, age 26, dragged him from his chair, threw him to the ground in order to handcuff him for the heinous felony of wanting to watch a movie twice. They had to use three sets of handcuffs on him. They rolled him over onto his belly for a couple of minutes, tops. And golly, I mean, when he showed signs of distress, the sheriff's deputy said they administered CPR and other first aid. There's only one problem with that. As in the case of Eric Garner, the medical examiner ruled that the death was homicide and the cause was asphyxia. The sheriff's department blamed Mr. Saylor, age 26, the sheriff's department blamed him for his own demise for being fat. But in an additional wrinkle, the Frederick County Sheriff's Department have also blamed Down syndrome for causing Mr. Saylor's demise. Now, bear in mind, they didn't say why Down syndrome caused his demise. They just said it did. Let's see if we can help. Maybe because he had Down syndrome, he didn't understand why the cops were being mean to him. So they had to be meaner. Maybe? Possible? You may be surprised to know that Robert Ethan Saylor, formerly age 26, for whom the universe has now ended, was white. And hence my bit of doggerel. Because traditionally in this country, the police have and continue to come down hardest on people of color. But in 2014, in a country with the police gone absolutely wild, no accountability, grand juries rigged never to return an indictment, or at best maybe 1% of the time, your white skin won't save your white ass. Not by a long shot. Because this is beginning to have the feeling of economic oppression as well. And it also has the feeling of ain't nothing gonna change. Oh, we'll get them some body cameras. Huh. Okay, this is proof of how annoying the internet can be. Today's story, the story of Mr. Saylor, I'm not sure if this is better or worse. Thank you, Isaac, for the correction. The grand jury story is actually, wow, a year and a half old. You would think you could, you would think that you could read, say, a Dateline and get something out of it. March 22nd, 2013. I don't know that the date changes things that much. Thank you, Isaac. Maybe this needed to, maybe the universe needed this to come back to light. In my own defense, I will note, however, that posted on December 8th, 2014, updated on December 8th, 2014, grand jury refuses to indict. And this is why amateur journalism will bite you in the ass every time. Oh, well, that just means that Mr. Saylor has been dead for a little longer than we thought. That just means that Mr. Saylor's killers have been walking around as free men for a little longer than we thought. It doesn't make Mr. Saylor any less dead. It doesn't make their willingness to blame his size for his death any less egregious. It doesn't make them blaming his Down syndrome any less cold-hearted, bloodthirsty, and stupid than it already was. But thank you. Thank you, Isaac. Because I thought I'd learned. It does kind of chap my ass. Not you, Isaac. This. Linkbait. Linkbait. Who are the usual suspects here? AlternativeMediaSyndicate.com. Because the revolution won't be televised, they tell you. And it's one of those, and they all are now, aren't they? They're just covered in ads. Online university, so you get the headline in little letters, and then online university degrees and advertisement. November 24th, Obama generously gives homeowners a once-in-a-lifetime mortgage bailout, and Swarovski crystals, and. But that's okay. So that's a year and a half old, and they were just putting out link bait there to create traffic for their advertising, I guess. Meanwhile, though, it is not an old, old story. That, in fact, some Texas police officers will not be doing any prison time. They've been cleared by a grand jury. No, really. After beating a handcuff woman so hard that they broke the orbital bone, they fractured the orbital bone in her eye. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They really, really did. As Lily the AT&T girl says in the commercial, they really did. They really, really did. And the grand jury heard that and said, nah, not really. It's okay. These things happen. It's a tough world out there. I was reminded In fact, it was something the angry Indian said the other night in conversation. You know, as a kid, depending on which generation you are, and I think Bill has mentioned this somewhere along the way, one generation used to have old vinyl of Red Fox's nightclub bits. My generation had 8-track tapes of Richard Pryor and George Carlin. Richard Pryor may be the funniest human being ever to grace a stage. Part of what made Richard Pryor so funny was his ability to take his own foibles and make us not laugh with him, but laugh at him, because he was laughing at himself. I found this over at Addicting Info. I think, was it Alex who posted it? I think, maybe? I can't remember. Quote from Richard Pryor. I went to Zimbabwe. I know how white people feel in America now. Relaxed, because when I heard the police car, I knew they weren't coming after me. I think this is from Wanted Live in Concert. And yes, Richard Pryor used that word a lot. So, just, you know, forewarned. Okay?
And that vodka I was drinking, I said, go ahead, shoot something else. I shot the motor fell out the motherfucker, right? The motor said, fuck it. Then the police came, I went in the house. Because they got magnums too. And they don't kill cars. They kill niggas. Chokehold they use out here though, man. They choke niggas to death. That mean you be dead when they through. Right? Did you know that? Wait, the niggas going, yeah, we gonna wipe them. No, I have no idea. Yeah, two grab your legs, one grab your head, it'll snap. Oh shit, he broke. Can you break a nigger? Is it okay? Let's check them in. Yep, page 8, you can break a nigger right there. See? Let's drag him downtown. Okay.
That was, I think, 1977 in California. And you know what? It was true then. It's true now. And in the meantime, the only thing that seems to have changed is the frequency with which it happens. But as I pointed out, well, you know, it's generational. Every generation has to be reminded, right? Yeah. So there's morans everywhere. Oh, a little update. Just, you know, to pat us all on the back a little bit. A website called Three Chicks Politico had a headline yesterday, which I presume really was yesterday because of the subject matter. Prosecutor Bob McCulloch, St. Louis County, Missouri, may face ethics complaint for perjury. After facing criticism for his handling of the Ferguson grand jury investigation, St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCulloch may have his law license threatened. A group headed by Dr. Christy Griffin with the Ethics Project will meet last night to determine whether it will file an ethics complaint against McCulloch with the Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel, an agency of the Missouri Supreme Court. Griffin says initial reports from the Ferguson police chief that Darren Wilson did not know that Michael Brown was suspected in an earlier convenience store robbery were changed in testimony before the grand jury, and she believes that represents perjury. She told Lawrence O'Donnell, "He's the one that is allowing this perjured testimony to be presented to the grand jury, and that is a direct violation of the Code of Professional Ethics." And then there's the ethics violation that goes along with allowing a grand jury to be presented with legal instruction, which is supposed to be delivered not by the prosecutor, but by the court, that includes decades-old, discredited, unconstitutional law. I mention this only because if you are a listener to this program of long standing, then you know, have known, from almost the very beginning, that this whole process was dummied up, faked up, ginned up, frauded up, and rubed up. That it was less straight than a walk down the games midway of a carnival, with its underinflated balloons, weighted darts, and crooked barreled BB machine guns. Yeah. Once again, we're out there miles in front of the curve, and that means something to me. Note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. Bob, Bob, Bob. Oh, dear. Obviously, the blah fellow was a thug. Thug being the new word for that word with two G's, an N, and an I, an E, and an R that isn't ginger. As a letter writer to my local newspaper said, they're all criminals and deserve what they got. Now, if you didn't deserve it today, you probably deserved it for something else you done. Or, you know, you can always haul out Clint Eastwood. You know, deserving's got nothing to do with it. Sometimes you just got to send a little message. Yeah. Sure. Why not? Went down to the Rippy Mart earlier today. Saw something new at the impulse purchase corner of the counter. An ooey gooey butter cake from Prairie City Bakery. On the box it said, a St. Louis favorite. And I thought, I wonder if you eat enough of these, will you drop dead in the middle of the street and they'll leave your body just laying there for 6 hours? I mean, it's a St. Louis favorite, right? I was thinking that way because of something that I saw earlier today. It's a skit. it's a skit from Saturday Night Live that, for some reason or another, they just didn't have time to run on air this past Saturday night. One wonders why. It's a send-up of that most obnoxious form of broadcasting, the local Happy Talk morning program. Well, let's just go to it. Shall we? Sure. Why not?
That concludes our local coverage this hour of the developments in Ferguson. Obviously, tensions remaining extremely high here in the greater St. Louis area, with many fearing our community will never be the same. Just unbelievable. Please, Stay safe out there. Okay, well, the protests aren't the only thing happening in our area. Let's toss it over, as we always do, to our morning team for Rise and Smile with Kip and Jenny.
We're good.
No, please don't.
What do you guys have for us today?
Could we just show a rerun or something?
You're live.
Deep breath, Jenny. Read the prompter.
Thanks for making us part of your morning, St. Louis. It's time to rise and smile.
But please don't play the jingle.
Get up, start your day, hey, in that cheerful St. Louis way. From Chesterfield to Ferguson, Kip and Jenny, make your morning fun.
Rise and smile, St. Louis.
Okay, let's just plow through this. How was your weekend, Jenny?
Spend it holding a fireplace poker and protecting my property. So why don't we skip the chit-chat and talk about some weekend events?
Enrollment is open for the annual 5K holiday fun run. If you're looking for a good jog, it's being called the most superior race in town. Now, why would you write that phrase?
Downtown on December 9th, the Blackies are performing... I'm truly sorry.
I'm going to continue speaking quickly so I don't think about that moment.
Oh, I just thought of someone that's not us. Let's go to Trisha Darby with a traffic report. Trisha, how's the traffic out there?
Bad.
Let's just skip to our guest segment. Please welcome the author of the Healthy Eating Guide, Yum Yum and My Tum Tum, Chef Daryl.
Hey.
Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning, Kip. Good morning, Jenny.
So you're visiting to make us a healthy breakfast today.
That's right. Turns out when you schedule a book tour 8 months ahead, the cities stay pretty much set in stone. So here I am to cook with you here in this part of the country.
And what are you making for us today?
Today, we're making a frittata. Now, to make it healthy, we're only going to use the whites of the egg.
Use the whole damn egg.
It's not healthy that way.
Whole egg, Daryl.
So this frittata got an award at the Aspen Food and Wine Festival.
Yes, it won the grand jury prize, and who am I to argue with the grand jury?
Oh, hot God!
Sorry, I heard that as I was saying it.
Too late. You said it, and now we're all on YouTube forever, okay? Now... Let me ask you, your book here is signed Chef Daryl. Are you like Sting, or do you have a last name?
No, I do have a last name.
What is it?
Wilson.
Your name is Daryl Wilson?
Anyway, do you want a frittata? They're leaving. Okay.
Next up, we're going to discuss something else that I'm going to figure out what that is at the end of this sentence. And that thing is that I drive a Pontiac Vibe.
Well, why don't we check on that traffic one more time? Trisha, is that the Chicago skyline?
Hell yes, and I am not coming back.
That's a good idea she had.
Yeah, we should have done that. We should have done that.
Okay, you know, that's all the time we have. I'm going to make the call to cut the show 53 minutes short today.
But can I just say, do you know how hard it was to get my last name taken off the books? People don't get to choose their names. I, Daryl Wilson, am the victim here.
Please tell me I heard that wrong.
Okay, that it just didn't come out right.
Just stop talking, Eggman. We leave you now with a classic rock medley from Missouri's own vocal quartet, the Sing-a-Ling-a-Lings. Good God.
Wonder why they didn't. They ran out of time, I guess. Happy Talk Media. It's always so much fun. Use the whole egg. That may become a thing. Use the whole egg. Let's see. What else? It's about a quarter before the hour. Since there was that St. Louis bit, sure, why not? There is. I don't. I'm getting a little overwhelmed. Fox 4 News reporting that Mugshots, a bar in Missouri, proudly calling itself a place where sarcasm is always free, liquor ain't, is, thanks to this program and apparently many others, getting lots and lots of free publicity because of their Michael Brown drink special, 6 shots for $10. Yeah, Rodney Stapleton is a co-owner of the bar. He said, it looked like it got a good response on Facebook, so I just decided to use it. That's what bar owners do if they're finding something that works at another bar. They try to use it at their bar. I mean, it wasn't meant to cause any harm. I should have thought a little bit more about it before I made it a shot special. Stop! Shut up! Just shut up and keep shutting up! Oh, man, it seemed catchy to... Moran! How? I mean, because capitalism, I guess. What? Kind of lost. And then there's, it's Moran Monday, right? So sooner or later we had to actually go to Fox. And a curiously named program called Justice with Judge Jeanine, who knows where this whole American police nightmare comes from, knows the source of it. Right? Absolutely. Sure. I mean, police are killing and choking and shooting and maiming and with little or no culpability or accountability. And she knows where to put the blame.
And now to the results of tonight's Instapoll. We asked, do police need to be retrained on how to be sensitive to the minority community? Overwhelming response was in favor of law.
Wait. Someday I'm going to learn how to get through an entire clip without interrupting. When she gets to the word minorities, Judge Jeanine, is her last name? Pirro? Yeah. Judge Jeanine Pirro holds her fingers up, putting scare quotes around minority. Or as who called them dick fingers? Yeah. Let's try this again. Did I mention hockey pucks might be in order? Because they are. And the duct tape.
Out of the results of tonight's Instapoll, we asked, do police need to be retrained on how to be sensitive to the minority community? Overwhelming response was in favor of law enforcement. Jeff says, why is it always necessary to tiptoe around the minority community?
You know, somehow I don't think you're tiptoeing when you're dumping a double-digit round-holding clip into a body. That doesn't seem much like tiptoeing. And, you know, Judge Jeanine Pirro said that, well, the response was overwhelmingly in favor of law enforcement, as if it was a scientific poll, as if it was not taking place in the most in the crankiest right-wing place on broadcast media, to wit, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda.
Trained on how to be sensitive to the minority community. Overwhelming response was in favor of law enforcement. Jeff says, why is it always necessary to tiptoe around the minority community?
By the way, can I point out that she is broadcasting from in front of a projection of the red and white stripes of a waving American flag? Jesus. Look. If it quacks like a fascist and it walks like a fascist, you know what I'm getting at.
And John says, I think criminals need to not resist arrest, whatever the community.
Wonder how long. Never mind. You're already thinking it. I don't have to say it.
And Larry says, no, enough is enough. The general public needs to be trained to be more sensitive to the police and show them the respect they deserve.
And there's our problem. We aren't sensitive enough to the police. We aren't sensitive enough to the people with up-armored vehicles and sniper rifles trained on our mothers, our daughters, our sons, our fathers, uncles, aunts, cousins, neighbors. We're not sensitive to them. You know, if we would just go in the house, mind our own businesses, keep our heads down, tune in Dancing with the Goddamn Stars, and quit acting like injustice actually occurs in the United States, let alone matters, let alone occurs, well, this would just be a happy little fascist paradise. Because, see, that's how you make a fascist paradise. Living with fascism is a hell of a lot easier than living with some other forms of government. Because all you have to do is keep your mouth shut and your head down and hope that they don't come for you at 3 o'clock in the morning sometime and disappear your ass. See how easy?
I agree. And Bill says...
Oh, wait. The sultry little whisper after that comment about learning... Yeah, okay, hold on.
As no, enough is enough. The general public needs to be trained to be more sensitive to the police and show them the respect they deserve. I agree. And Bill says, you don't have a constitutional right to resist arrest. Most of these incidents that go bad all start with someone not following a lawful order.
Hang on a minute. Because the last time I checked in with the right wing, which I try not to do, too terribly often because it makes my brain feel all dirty and in need of a bleaching. They were hooting and hollering about the sacred God-given right of self-defense. Where the f*** did that go? What happened to the right of self-defense? If they come barreling through your door, they haven't knocked or said, hello, it's the police, nothing, they just come right through your damn door, you don't have a right to defend yourself? Because in this country, you don't. You remember a few years ago, the granny lady in Atlanta, they barreled through her door, she shot at them, and they they filled her full of lead? So, you have, according to the NRA and Gun Owners of America, you've got a right of self-defense that extends all the way to threatening members of Congress and the public at large. But when you're being asked, when the poll question is coming from sultry, whispery voice Janine Pirro, you have to follow a lawful order, even though you're not in the military. Hoo-ah! Because when you live in a fascist state, everybody's in the military. Sooner or later. Because sooner or later, somebody's going to give you an order. And then they'll shoot you, or choke you, or gas you, tase you, choke you, electrocute you, 210, 225, 230, whatever it takes. Right?
And Cindy says, how about everyone be taught to follow the rules and the laws? Wouldn't that just solve the problem? Axel says, as a retired law enforcement officer, shouldn't the public be retrained on obeying lawful orders of the police?
Sure, why not? Off to the FEMA re-education camps with everybody. Oh, not that kind of training. Do you begin to get an idea of just what it is like to try to live inside the mind of a right-winger? Do you get an idea of what it's like to be a right-winger and just live constantly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every second ticking by in a clanging cacophony of cognitive dissonance? I have to obey the orders. Yeah, but the jackbooted thugs of that Kenyan Muslim you slurper are gonna come down on me and take my freedom and make me have an Obama phone and mother. Right.
And Jordan says, yes, those cops were racially profiling. Hey, Jordan, you don't even know what racial profiling is. That's when race is used to engage law enforcement in the minority community. But offender profiling is when an offender is ID'd by a description including his race, which is the only way to investigate some of these cases.
What's Edith, huh?
Oh, there's an interesting observation. Obeying a lawful order. This from Bob. What about Clive and Bundy? Well, see, he doesn't have to obey lawful orders because that's the federal government of that one in our White House. You know, the Kenyan Muslim you slurper with a deep-seated hatred of white people. Don't have to obey their orders. That's tyranny. Yeah. And where's my snaky flag? Dear God. Yeah, Clive and Bundy seem to come immediately to mind for a number of folks. Marty pointing out, the public needs to be retrained. I'll be waiting for Clive and Bundy 2.0 to see if this opinion holds. But see, over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, none of them embarrassing Clive and Bundy questions are ever going to get through. Ron and Raleigh, query? Bob, is any order a lawful order? Bark like a dog, citizen. Oof. Hoot like an owl, citizen. Good citizen. Good. Sit, Liberty. Sit. Yeah, they're all lawful orders now, aren't they? It's another one of those cases where you can put a paren around the L, a set of parens around the L, and you get the real gist of it. It's a lawful, awful order. Good God. Thank you, Marty. Marty's always out front of, keep shutting up, I said. You need a loop from Star Wars of C-3PO saying, shutting up, sir.
Shutting up, sir.
Yeah? Well, there's not much left of this about teaching the minorities to behave, how to behave around their betters, so let's just finish the damn thing.
In the minority community. But offender profiling is when an offender is ID'd by a description including his race, which is the only way to investigate some of these cases. And Ann says, sure do. I seriously doubt this man would have been treated so harsh if he were white. Ann, you're wrong. Did you notice the African-American cops standing around? That's it for us tonight. You can.
Yeah, that's it for us tonight. Yeah, I did notice the African-American cop standing around. I also noticed Eric Garner's hands in the air. Didn't seem to slow down Mr. Officer Pantoliano, who, it turns out, has also been sued in the last couple of years for strip-searching random African-American human beings for LWB, Living While Black.
the charges with to which he subjected them were dismissed, and the case was settled out of court. Yeah, see how it works. Meanwhile, let's check in. I tell you what. No, okay. Eh. Well, I was going to take a break, but we've got a call over on the 304-574-8178 line. If you want to get involved in the program, you can jingle over to 304-663-4676. That is the Gizmo line, 304-663-4676. Let's find out what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, Lord. You know, her personality is about as cuddly as a cactus, I swear.
What's happening, Sergi?
Oh, Lord. Oh, well, I mean, ain't much over here, Lee.
I mean, do you feel a pressing need to be re-educated on how to be more obsequious to the police?
No, I do not. You know, before I just, not before anything, I'm just going to dive right into this. I am so sick of this notion that, oh, the police, we need to be, that one freaking booger eater that emailed Justice with King, whatever her name is. Oh, we need, the general public needs to be needs to be educated on how to, respect the police more. Where does she think the police salaries come from? Flying unicorns?
God.
I mean, seriously, it's like the police, their paychecks are being paid for by the general public. Now, any good, right-winger that's trained to worship at the feet of, the Koch brothers and all the other capitalists and stuff like that, they're taught that when someone is signing your paycheck, you're supposed to respect them, and you're supposed to be subservient to them and follow their orders, because they're the ones putting food on your table. Well, we're the ones putting food on the table of the police officers' families. Therefore, they answer to us. It's no different just because they're the cops. But good luck telling that to a book reader.
Well, yeah, and don't ever tell a cop, hey, buddy, I cite you. I pay your paycheck. Because they'll just beat you up harder.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of reminded of that scene from, and I'm sorry, my voice, I'm still, have these allergies going on. And I think I'm a bit better than I was on Friday. But, I'm reminded of this scene from Mama's Family, though. Episode where she got a driver's license, and she went to the DMV and ended up having to deal with this really snarky, smarmy a-hole behind the counter. He just kept pestering her and making her go to the end of the line and wait hours and hours more. And finally, when he tried to do it a last time, he grabbed her by the shirt collar across the counter and said, "Now listen up, you chrome dome. My taxes pay your salary, and as your boss, I say you better give her that license, or I'm gonna make you, or I'm gonna make sure that your next job is a reflector button on the highway." But, yeah, I mean, the police, as with any governmental organization, and the police are a governmental organization, as much as the booger eaters claim to hate the government, they're supposed to answer to the general public. And so all these people who want to unquestioningly follow the officers of the police, and they want to brown nose the badge, then they can, you know, they need to pack their bags right on up. North Korea is waiting. China is waiting. They'll be paradise. They can follow all the orders they want. And as for Judge Pirro, I'm not sure if you remember this, Bob. She used to be one of those TV judges that came on in the daytime.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And here's the thing, because I remember it, because, you know, I'm a big fan of court shows. I watched her show 15 minutes, it was a 30-minute format once. I couldn't get through it. Because she was the worst. Like, I mean, yes, the other judges do use snark, and they do have their styles and such, but she was just an ass. I mean, she would just pick one or both litigants for each case and just be an ass to them. Just interrupt them, not let them get their case through, make inappropriate jokes. I mean, you know, you think, like, you know, people think Judge Judy's an ass. No, Judge Pirro was an ass. And she got absolutely stomped in the ratings behind, like, you know, Judge Judy's the top rated. You know, the People's Court, Judge Mathis, you know, Judge Joe Brown, all those other shows. She was dead last amongst the court shows. She got canned. And so she decided, okay, I'm going to get back on TV, and eventually she proved enough of a blathering right-winger that Fox News picked her up, and she's been thriving there ever since, you know, because you don't need to have talent to be on Fox. You just need to tell the right-wingers what they want to hear, because her court show was horrible. I mean, literally maybe thousands of people were watching her. And she was syndicated across hundreds of stations across the nation and in Canada. And when you can't crack 20,000 viewers and you own 100, 200 stations.
Well, you got to wonder how she manages to stay on the air. But then again, it's Fox, right?
It's Fox. All you could do on Fox is just tell the right wingers what they want to hear. You know, if a sapient, you know, kangaroo was to start speaking English and start speaking right-wing talking points, Fox would give it a weekend show. You don't need to have talent to be on no Fox. I mean, you don't need to have talent to be on Chicken Noodle News or HLN, and in some cases, you ain't got to have talent to be on MSNBC. I mean, Joe Scarborough, case closed.
Oh, Jesus, we had to mention him, did we?
Well, hey, you brought up Judge Pirro.
but and there's an argument there. Same, same.
And yeah, I mean, in addition, you know, the right to self-defense. That's the thing that this. Oh God, hold on. That's the thing that just gets me here. Is that? Well, another thing that just gets me is that. It automatically becomes irrelevant when you're, as you often say, Bob, darker than a grocery bag. Oh, yeah, Clive and Bundy, he had a right to be pointing, he and his people to be pointing them rifles at them evil government agents, them BLMers, pointing snipers at them. He had to defend himself against them.
You betcha.
But then, for some reason, Eric Garner shouldn't have had a right, or, you know, in their mind, shouldn't have a right to defend against an illegal chokehold, or Michael Brown, or any of them. The guy with Down syndrome, and I forget his name. You know, it's like, and sometimes I think that, and, you know, I know that the Down syndrome dude was white, but it still kind of applies, because not all white people are viewed positively by the right wing.
Well, but I mean, they
had a disability, and that probably crippled him, or that probably, you know, oh, he's a cripple. He don't have no rights either.
Well, let's bear in mind, and I know that this is off-putting to some people, and I'm not trying to, I'm
not trying to bust out on Godwin's law or anything, but maybe the first rule of Godwin's law is not talking about Godwin's law. But the fact of the matter is, fascist states have little to no tolerance for the different, for the disabled, for the people of racial, and that word, you know, backgrounds that are not deemed sufficiently pure, okay? We live with fascism, okay? Sergi, I'm going to say something here, and if it angers people, I apologize in advance. I've been watching, and I've seen it so many times now, the video footage, complete with audio, of Eric Garner being killed by Detective Pantoliano. All right? And I've seen the hashtag, and I've seen people holding up signs and saying, "I can't breathe." And I'm sensitive to that. I guess you could say, in a way, it's a trigger. Because, see, the police, going back, as we noted from the Richard Pryor clip, the police have been choking people to death for a while. But in Appalachia, "I can't breathe" has an entirely different meaning. But it may not be entirely Appalachian. Most people might not realize, to think about it, that electricity, for instance, in New York City, does not come from the electricity fairy. And it doesn't come from some massive installation of wind and solar, wind turbines and solar panels out somewhere away from the city. It comes from coal-fired power plants that, for as long as they've been having electricity in New York City to some degree or another, now once upon a time, electricity was delivered from a hydroelectric station at Niagara Falls. But it didn't meet the needs for very long at all. A great portion of the electricity generated that powers all those blinking lights and the jumbotrons and everything in Times Square and all those brightly lit buildings and all those orange lights that you see if you fly over New York City by night comes from coal that was dug in central Appalachia. Because really it's the nearest coal source to New York City.
Yeah, that was Pennsylvania got mined out.
Well, Pennsylvania's a different kind of coal, too. Anthracite, hard coal, not nearly as useful. This is bituminous. But anyway, the white wingers who blame Eric Garner for his own demise for having apparently committing the capital crime of obesity. And who knew it was a capital crime, but apparently it is.
Wasn't Clive and Bundy pretty overweight, too?
No, Cloven Bundy is a little scrawny puke.
I'm thinking of a different looker here. Never mind.
It is not disputed that Eric Garner had asthma. Asthma is not something that just happens. Asthma is more often than not a sensitivity to something in the air that we are breathing.
Yeah, I have.
And in a great number of instances, the something that is in the air to which a person may be sensitive is the poison
the poisonous particulates that are dumped into the air day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, week by week, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade, from the burning of coal, okay? I could go back a few years. His name has never left me because it stands forever as a monument of the heartbreak of coal-fired electricity. A young man named Elbert Jovante Woods. He was a 16-year-old star football player at a high school in Cincinnati, or in the greater Cincinnati area. He was also the son of a Cincinnati NFL great by the name of Icky Woods, who back in the day, with his touchdown dance, taught the world the Icky Shuffle. And it's since been rejuvenated in an ad for an insurance company or something. But he had a 16-year-old son whom he loved dearly, who collapsed in August on the practice field somewhere near Cincinnati. And you have to understand, Sergi, that the Cincinnati area, all of southern Ohio, is just one long string of coal-fired power plants along the Ohio River. And there were so many particulates in the air that day that they triggered a massive and monstrous asthma attack in young Elbert Jovante Woods. And I think within 3 hours of being carried off the practice field, he was dead. Dead for, and the doctors didn't bat an eyelash. They said, we have terrible air today, and it's really bad for asthmatics. So when Eric Garner said, I can't breathe, I thought of all of those stacks pouring all of that filth into the air. Now, see, we've done a little something about the mercury and the arsenic, and that's why you've got poison leaching into the Yadkin River in North Carolina and into the Dan River from the breach of a coal ash dam early this year. But still, tons more particulates constantly go into the air. And they kill people like Elbert Jovante Woods, and they contribute to the asthma of people like Eric Garner. And part of the reason that he said, I can't breathe, was because he had asthma, because he was being choked to death by a member of the New York Police Department. Okay? Imagine then, because this is a little bit what it's like to live inside my skull. Imagine then that every year, even now, every year in the United States of America, three people, most of them men, die per day. Around 1,000 per year. And they die of a disease called black lung. And that is a disease that is caused by working in the coal industry and constantly, minute by minute, hour by hour, shift by shift, day by day, week by week, year by year, inhaling coal dust until your lungs are absolutely ruined with it. And do you know what, when you're dying of black lung, do you know what you say, Sergi? I can't breathe. So the cops in places like New York and L.A. and elsewhere, they choke people to death on what I guess we might call a retail basis. But for 100 years, the coal industry has been killing people wholesale. And I'm not trying to compare or supersede or in any way mitigate grief. I'm trying to point out the fact that we live in a country that is absolutely soaked up to its hairline, up to its eyebrows in grief, and has been for decades and, in fact, centuries.
I can imagine, you know, I didn't think of it that way, but that's why I listen to you, you know. And as far as, I'm having a coughing fit here. But yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, the booger eaters go, you know, what the general population needs to know about these right-wing asses is that double standards are their bread and butter.
That along with cognitive dissonance, I agree wholeheartedly.
And the double standards, there's all types of them. There's race double standards. There's gender double standards. There's class double standards. There's disability double standards. There's all, you know, and there's age double standards in a few cases. And, you know, at the forefront right now is race. You know, Cliven Bundy, though he had a right to defend himself, but Eric Garner doesn't, or didn't. You know, yay for all these, you know, people wanting to, you know, get out of, you know, tax havens. Yeah, move their taxes out of these states that want to, and get out of the country. The feds want to tax them to death. Oh, but, you know, what's his name down here in, you know, the ghetto didn't pay XYZ fee. Let's throw him in jail.
Sure.
It's all about double standards. And that's what they operate on. And then you take the double standards, and then you add a heaping helping of denial. Not just a river in Egypt, a heaping helping of denial. A few nights ago, or maybe it was just a couple of nights ago, because the days kind of blur together for me, especially in recent times, there was a protest of a couple hundred people down in downtown Dallas about the Eric Garner. Eric Garner murder. And, you know, Facebook being, you know, the social media network, you know, all of these TV stations have Facebook pages and they post breaking news and such. And, of course, WSAA, Channel 8, ABC, here in North Texas, and posted the breaking story. And this one booger eater, you know, this, he looked to be about, I don't know, 30-something, maybe upper 20s. You know, he had his cowboy hat on, and he had the black shirt and the Wranglers pulled up, you know, almost to his, you know, freaking navel and the whole bit on his profile picture. And he posts this huge, mean, in Photoshop image based off of the, you know, the, I think it's what, like 20th Century Fox, is that what the company's called that appears before movies?
Yeah, with the searchlights,
Yeah, there's a searchlight, and it was a Photoshop of that thing. No one cares. And I put a reply, and my reply was simply a link to the Diet Racism video up on YouTube. Now, I do that, and I just kind of forget about it, because I have a life. But then I'm going through my Facebook messages a couple days later, which is now yesterday, and in my other folder, which is where messages from people who aren't on my friends list go, in my other folder, I have one in my other folder, and I clicked on that, and it's that dude. And he said, "What was racist about what I posted on that story?" Denial. Not only are there the double standards, not only is there the racism and the sexism and the classism and the ableism on their side, there's also the denial that any of it's there. I have at least a kernel more respect for someone who is racist and owns up to it and owns it, rather than someone who is racist and refuses to even acknowledge who they are. Because at least the person who's owning up to it is owning up to it. Does that make them a good person? No. But it makes them an ever so slightly better person than the person who refuses to acknowledge it. and that goes for white people in general who deny the concept of privilege, white privilege. The dangerous ones are the privileged who refuse to accept they are so. It's as simple as that. But for a good note, I mentioned it was Channel 8. I like Channel 8 because, and you know, it does kind of warm my heart every time I see a responsible commercial media outlet, or any responsible media outlet in general, but especially a commercial one. It really does warm my heart. And Channel 8 is pretty much the only TV station here in North Texas that does journalism. Because during the initial Dallas protests, the ones that were specifically about Michael Brown, after, you know, the grand jury returned that not an indictment, there was a massive protest in downtown Dallas. That was the one where they blocked I-35, right? Well, I was tuning up, flipping through the channels, comparing their coverage. Okay. Fox 4 didn't report on it at all. Surprise! NBC 5 was just describing how the protests were there. They were just saying, oh, this is happening, that is happening. Same thing goes for Channel 11. Channel 33 cut back their news department a long time ago, and now their newscast is all canned, so it's not like they were able to even send anything to report on the breaking news. But Channel 8 embedded a reporter doing an on-the-ground live shot right into the crowd. And they went to the live shot. It was one of the female reporters, I forget her name, but she was right there walking with the crowd, talking about the topics people were, you know, because she asked people in the crowd, and, you know, she was saying this person talked about that, you know, related to, you know, specific this, that, and the other. And then, excuse me, And then, after they were done with the live shot, they spent 10 minutes of the newscast interviewing local faith leaders, black faith leaders, local black, you know, politicians of the Democratic sort, not of the Booger Eater sort. We actually don't have any here locally. And they were interviewing local black activists and some white anti-racism activists as well. And they really did a stellar job of covering the issue. A stellar job. And they did the same with the protests about Eric Garner that happened in downtown Dallas. And so I do have to commend them for that. I don't know, occasionally you just come across a gem, and they really are one of them, you know. Maybe it's the ownership because they Belo sold it to Gannett not too long ago, and they own quite a few stations here in Texas. And generally, the reliable station, the station that actually does journalism in any given Texas market, is going to be the one owned by Gannett. You know, WFAA here, KVU in Austin, KENS in San Antonio. And then another...
Oh, thank you, Telecommunications Act of 1996. Yeah.
And then another good note is actually the Dallas Police. Because when Channel 8 was... I was watching Channel 8's helicopter shot of the Eric Garner protest. They were marching down, I think it was Young Street in downtown Dallas. And the Dallas Police were there. But the police weren't engaging the protesters. They were escorting the protesters. And I looked at that, and I just rubbed my... You know how they, you know, a cartoon character will rub their eyes to make sure they're looking at something right, they're seeing something right? Well, the Dallas Police, they had cruisers going alongside the protesters, and every time the protesters approached an intersection, the cops and the cruisers sped up a little bit and blocked off the intersection so nobody who is weren't paying attention or is just going crazy would hit anyone. And I was just like, that is how police should be acting. That's how you do it responsibly. You work for the community, not against it. They're having a legal protest, as they have the First Amendment right to do so, and the police are not doing anything to try and quash them. They're keeping them safe. They're escorting them. Why is that so hard?
It's not so hard, but it's about attitude. I don't know if you've seen the photos coming out of Berkeley or not, but wow.
I did hear an audio report because I listened to Democracy Now! This morning, but I didn't see pictures. Haven't seen pictures.
That's some ugliness. Hey, Sergi, I'm going to roll here and get some other folks on, but I really appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate you tolerating my little rant in the middle of your nickel.
Well, Bob, I don't tune in to tolerate you. I tune in to listen to you. So, thank you, and have a good evening.
You too. I hope you get to feeling better quick. Our buddy Sergi calling from Texas, Stan, or as he lovingly refers to it, or maybe not so much, Fort Worthless. It is 29 minutes before the hour. We are halfway through the program. I will remind you that there is a premium on the table, the likes of which you have never had and may never again have, or may never have the opportunity to have again. $100 contribution to the horn to help us keep bills paid and the wolf off the porch gets you, for a very short time only, a pound of hand-harvested, hand-processed wild rice from the pristine waters of northern Wisconsin. And we'll... in turn, well, help us keep the bills paid and change your holiday table. Well, it'll be something that's never probably never before been on your holiday table. Just shoot me a note. Well, not shoot me a note, but use the PayPal interface and include your address in the message box, and I will get it on the way to you. In addition to that, we try to raise $150 per evening just to keep everything going here. And, you know, Decembers are tough. So anything that comes along is a huge help. And it is much appreciated. Let's go to the Gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Edward.
I would know you anywhere, Edward.
Anyway, my partner found something today on something called New Deal Network on the computer, and it's an article by Henry A. Wallace, April 9, 1944, 70 years ago. And I might, if I can, read just a little bit of this.
Go right ahead, Edward.
It's called The Danger of American Fascism by Henry A. Wallace, who, by the way, in 1944 was our vice president.
And was replaced by FDR because of the clamor of the conservatives, even in the Democratic Party, who were...
Absolutely, because they thought he was a socialist.
Right.
He was.
Yeah. And he hated fascists.
Absolutely. Well, this is the beginning of it. The dangers... I might stumble a little bit because I reached a point in my life when I had to use a magnifying glass. Anyway.
Well, years in a library will do that to your eyes.
You're telling me. The Danger of American Fascism by Henry A. Wallace. 1. On returning from my trip to the West in February, I received a request from the New York Times to write a piece answering the following questions. 1. What is a fascist? 2. How many fascists have we? 3. How dangerous are they? And I'll start this out. I won't finish it. It's about 3 pages long. I'll just start it out. A fascist is one whose lust for money or power is combined with such an intensity of intolerance toward those of other races, parties, classes, religions, cultures, regions, or nations as to make him ruthless in his use of deceit or violence to attain his ends. The supreme god of a fascist to which his ends are directed may be money or power, may be a race or a class, may be a military, clique or an economic group, or may be a culture, religion, or a political party. And I'll stop right there.
Sounds like he nailed it, doesn't it?
He nailed it right on the head.
and it was probably enough to get him un-vice-presidented.
It did.
and the next thing you know, a Kansas City haberdasher wound up in the vice president's chair.
How about it? I used to call him Harry Ass Truman. Oh, whatever. Anyway, I'll let you go, but I just wanted to throw that out there. And if anybody wants to look it up and read the whole article, I would recommend it. Look it up on New Deal Network.
New Deal Network.
And it's entitled The Dangers of American Fascism. Do you know anybody who wants to come over for a tea party?
Well played, Edward. Well played.
Take care.
You have a good evening. Bye now.
Thank you. Do the same. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our dear friend Edward calling from Dallas. Meanwhile, let us go back to the other line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Gerald?
Yep.
Thought so.
Just calling from Central Appalachia here. Yeah, I thought maybe.
Another denizen of West Virginia, Stan.
That's right.
Yeah,
right
now that we've elected an 18-year-old idiot to the legislature.
Oh, please.
And a great passel of pig lickings. We have to add the Stan to the end of Virginia, don't we?
You know what really bothers me about the whole situation is, you know, that's up in the Panhandle, and those people are actually really proud of what they've done. I just don't understand it. Do you get it?
You mean it's like when the 2-year-old who's barely speaking says, "Mommy, I painted with my poop."
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be an interesting 2 years. There's no doubt about it.
You be interested. I'm terrified.
Well, I'm trying to be. Able
I mean,
to
I, I don't. Yeah, I don't know if you heard Boss Man Wayne when he called in last week. But he knows what's coming. The first thing they're going to go after is prevailing wage.
Well, from what I read, it's the ALEC script. They're going abortion, prevailing wage, right to work, and right on down the line, they're just lockstep with the right wing.
Oh, and by the way, an extra bonus because I saw this on the above the fold on the Gazette the other day, and I confess my ignorance, okay? I mean, I'm not too proud to admit when I don't know something, because I didn't know this. They're going to do whatever it is, this new Republican legislature is going to do whatever it is they want to do. And even a veto will not save it.
Well, exactly, and
because,
they know that.
I didn't realize that maybe it's because nobody's really had to do much. I didn't realize that in West Virginia, a veto only requires a simple majority and not any sort of enhanced majority. So even if Gert, you know, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, was to get all froggy and veto, say, a bill that destroys, prevailing wage, the legislature can just override his veto and say, "Screw you, Gert."
Yeah.
Aren't those booger eaters who voted for this passel of pig lickings because of the war on coal and that one in our White House and America ain't ready for one of them people as president? You know, all things that were said by West Virginians. Aren't they going to be tickled pink? Isn't that guy who's making union scale on a job without having to be in a union, isn't he just going to be tickled pink when suddenly he's making $11 an hour instead of 36?
When guys like me are paying the dues, yeah, that's going to be great. I can just see it now. I don't understand it. I just do not understand it.
Well, I've got something in the can right now. That I'm waiting to ship off to the Gazette. I'm going to wait until a week into the new legislative session. And the gist of it is, all right, where's all the coal? If we elected a bunch of Republicans, we were going to get fresh coal under the ground, and them little Keebler coal elves were going to be producing coal left and right and making more of this stuff that we thought had all run out here in West Virginia. Where is it, boys and 18-year-old twit? Where is it?
That's part of what I called in about, Bob. It wasn't so much about prevailing wage and all the what's happened in the legislature. We know that's happened. It's the election's over. It's going to happen. What I would like to know, and I have lived in this state for 44 years, ever since birth. I've never left other than for short-term jobs and things like that. So I am a bona fide citizen. And I have traveled the state end to end, and a lot of work I used to do was down in the coal fields, down in your area. I would like to know where the hell all this coal wealth is. You know, we hear about, oh, the wealth from coal. Well, where the hell is it? I mean, I don't see all these big mansions built on the hill down there and people driving Cadillacs and Mercedeses and all this stuff. I don't see it. Do you see it? I mean, you live in Beckley.
I don't live in Beckley, but I live near enough. No, I don't see it either because it ain't there. Moreover,
gone out of state.
Yeah, go look for it in Logan. Go look for it in Welch. Williamson.
All those little towns down through there. Colwood, you know. That's the point I'm trying to make. The people of this state have always been so willing to, I need to censor myself, so willing to take it somewhere.
You don't have to censor anything, man. It's wide open here.
Well, no, try to keep it somewhat family friendly. Have always been so willing to take it up the rear for some out of state corporate interest, because that money never stays here. I mean, it's always gone. All the millions from all the coal that's been burned that you and I and everyone else, all the other listeners are breathing right now. It's not here, and anyone who lives in this area, not necessarily West Virginia, but you know, Western Virginia, Southern Pennsylvania, Eastern Kentucky, in the coal producing areas, would understand this. But they're so blinded by Obama is war on coal going to get your job. You know, that's all I've heard for the past 8 years, and I don't think Obama is the reason that the coal jobs are leaving.
No, there ain't no more coal.
Well, I think you can blame it on the Marcellus and Utica shale drilling.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, it's cheaper energy and
market forces, economics.
Yeah, I mean, but you just have to live here to understand it, I guess. I've never figured it out. But anyway, that's my little rant.
Well, it's not little, and the fact of the matter is, if you want to find the wealth, if you want to find the wealth of Appalachia, you need to go to Frankfurt, Germany, and you need to see that humongous tower that's inhabited by the Deutsche Bank. You need to go and see the banking houses of UBS, and you need to go to Zurich, and you need to go and look at that monumental U.S. Steel Tower in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and you get the idea.
Well, of course.
That's one of the things, just to get back to the 18-year-old twit in the legislature. What's her name, Sarah?
Blair.
Sarah Blair. Now, she is said to be fond, according to the article in the Washington Post, she is said to be fond of a book called, and wants to figure out how to apply it to West Virginia. She's fond of a book, Gerald, called Unleashing Capitalism.
Oh, well, I see. I hadn't read that part.
And I read that and had to kick furniture. And you know, the looks I get from the cat when I'm doing that. You know. but I mean, really? Because I know, maybe I don't, I probably don't know as much West Virginia history as you do.
Well, I don't know about that.
But I know a lot of people who know a lot of West Virginia history. For instance, my dear friend Professor Keith Lilly or Dr. Bill O'Brien, they both come to mind. And unless I've got this completely wrong, and I don't think I do, capitalism has been unleashed on West Virginia. And in fact, unleashed is probably an improper term because it has never been leashed in the first place. Capitalism has run rampant, has run wild, has run riot in the streets of Appalachia for way more than 100 years. And when you ask that question, where's the wealth? The answer is it got eaten up by unleashed capitalism.
Well, you know, we've probably got one of the best legislatures in the country that money can buy, and it's not. This is not a recent a thing either. It's always been that way. Whether there's a D or an R, you know, there's really not a lot of difference. At least not what I see. The D's that were in our state house were just, you know, R light for the most part. So, you know, as far as the new, what happens in January, it's wide open. It's going to be really, there's going to be a lot of people shocked when they learn what is being done in their name.
Do you think they're, I mean, let's just, do you think they're going to be shocked?
Well, I think some will, but I don't know if enough, you know. I just, I'm like you. I want to kick furniture sometimes.
Because I come back to the argument that I've been making lately. And I saw it manifested the other day. I forget where. But, you know, there are a few little things that have become triggery for me. One is whenever I hear someone refer to, speaking of the United States of America, our democracy. Oh, I've gotten to the point where I hoot like a barn owl when I hear that now.
You mean the one that's bought and paid for by the Koch brothers?
Well, no, I mean the one that's never existed in the first place.
Well.
The one that has always been aspirational and not operational. So there's that. But the other thing that's got me going now is when our good fellow liberals, progressives, whatever we call them, begin to talk about people voting, you know, working class people voting against their own interests. And I've been hammering on this a little bit lately, and I think maybe this is a time to, because I get the sense, Gerald, that you think that there might be some awakening by people going, what did we just vote for? Wait a minute, they said they were going to protect us from the gays eating our Bibles, but look, they just cut my paycheck by 2/3. Oh, my Jesus. And you think that there might be a wake-up like that?
I do, and I'll tell you where I think it's going to come. I don't think it's going to be with the prevailing wage or the right to work, because most people don't even understand what a right to work or so-called right to work law is. They just think, oh, everybody's got a right to work. Them damn unions taking the money, I don't need a union, blah, blah, blah. But I think where it's going to really hurt, and I just saw an article on this here recently that reinforced this, when they get hit in the entitlements, as the rights who like to call them, when their food stamps are cut even more, when their Medicaid is cut even more, their HUD and all the Section 8 HUD and all the government assistance that is channeled through the state, which is now going to be controlled by a Republican legislature, a veto-proof legislature, I might add. And I'm like you, I didn't realize that it was quite that bad until recently. I think then, of course, it'd probably be Obama's fault, but I think then there will be an awakening. Because, as you well know, a lot of the economy in this state is set up on hell, welfare and SSI. You know,
this West Virginia is one of the single greatest per capita recipients of federal assistance in the union.
I saw something yesterday, $1.76, and I, this is not a fact. I don't know how true it is, but it sounds about right. $1.76 for every dollar paid. That's what West Virginia.
I'm surprised it's that. I'm surprised it's that low. I'd figure we'd be up in the $3 neighborhood, and probably would.
Number one.
Number one, really?
Yeah. I don't know if I could find that or not.
Because see, just to expand on what I was saying a couple of minutes ago, I don't know if that awakening is going to come. And I say that, Gerald, because if people really, really were voting for what they perceive their interests to be, and that their interests are making sure that the little 20-month-old fetuses get a vote. Or if they were voting because they're absolutely certain that Obama's going to come and get their goons, or if they were voting because he's that one, or if they were voting because they have no interest in breathing clean air, then you know what? I don't see anything changing. I think the remainder of people that are still in this state, apparently by some kind of a majority, want it to get worse and not better, because that's what they voted to do. And they weren't voting against their interests. Their interests are seeing it get worse and not better.
Well, you make a valid point. I really don't know the answer. I never really thought that this day would come, to be honest with you. Not like this. But, since the Citizens United decision, now elections can be bought. And as we all know, the right has a lot more money than the left does. I think you're going to see this trend even in deep blue states. I think at some point most of the country will be red. So, yeah.
Well, in terms of legislatures and governors, most of the country already is.
Well, I mean, even in the presidential. I mean, you know, we've got 2 years for a presidential election. We don't even know who the Democrats are running or the Republicans. So, you know, we have an idea, but we haven't heard anything yet. I don't really know. I mean,
see, I think Gerald, we're getting very close to learning the ultimate failure of the Rahm Emanuel strategy. Because the Rahm Emanuel strategy was to secure, say, you know, your California, Oregon, Washington, and your top tier, your northern tier of blue states, and then your East Coast blue states, and have that be enough to push you over in the Electoral College and maybe even in terms of the popular vote. But here's the con in that. All you got to do is flip a couple of those blue states. And then you can take the legislature. They can start imposing voter suppression legislation, as we've seen in other places. And then there really is a domino effect, and it really does fall. And then you find out that ignoring, as Rahm Emanuel wanted to, and so much of the centrist Democratic Party went along with, then you find out that ignoring and not fighting, not contesting in those blood red states that one guy in that book, Better Off Without Him, it was Whistling Past Dixie, argued, you know, it's not worth electioneering in Alabama and Mississippi. Good God, you know, that's just stupid. Well, we're going to find out why that wasn't stupid. Because, with the United States at a state and local level as red as you just described it, Gerald, that lets the Koch brothers and the Sheldon Adelsons and that guy who wants women to keep aspirins between their knees and the rest of those right-wing anarcho-capitalists, that gives them the opportunity to turn all their energies on a place like New York or on a place like Massachusetts that just elected a Republican governor, or California. And that, by God, will be the jewel in the Alec crown. When they can take California, start tearing the solar panels off the roofs, bring down the wind turbines, fire up some coal, put some coal terminals from the Powder River Basin into the Puget Sound.
Capitalism.
Yeah, when they can do that, then they can complete the job?
Well, what would be left? I mean, what?
And it'll be partial. It'll be partially our fault, because there were a whole lot of people that went along with that whistling past Dixie argument.
Hey, I do my part. You know, I do the best I can.
Well, yeah, you do.
I blame the leadership. I really do.
Oh, look, I opened the program Friday talking about that clip from Joe Manchin on Fox News.
Exactly what I was getting ready to say. When you've got Democrats like Joe Manchin in the Senate, there's your problem. He never was a Democrat. The only reason he wore that tag was to get elected.
And let's be clear about something, Gerald. It's not his Democratic Party. It's my Democratic Party and your Democratic Party. And I, by God, want Joe Manchin and Larry Puccio, his little pet, and that lobbyist asshat who ran for Congress, I want them out of my party, and I want them in the party where they naturally belong.
I would agree. I would agree with you.
I mean, Mary Landrieu got beat over the weekend, and you know what? I shed not a single salty tear for that coal-fired, oil-sodden thing. Okay?
Yeah.
And it would not bust my ass not one iota to have Joe Manchin just stand up and say, well, I've had a long and searching inquiry of my being, and I've realized that I'm a Republican.
I can do more good for the state of West Virginia and the Republican Party. That will be what he'll say, something along that line. And everyone will be like, "Huh, yeah."
It's like the neighborhood where everybody knows that the kid down the block is gay.
Yeah.
Except his parents.
Yeah.
And he comes out to his parents, or she comes out to her parents. And then the neighborhood goes, we've known all along it was okay.
Yeah.
It just needed to come out. Well, this is that. And frankly, being a Republican is heinous. Being gay isn't. What I mean by that comparison, before I just dig myself into a nine-mile deep hole, what I mean by that is that everybody in West Virginia knows Joe Manchin is a Republican, knows he has always been a Republican, knows that he only identified as a Democrat for electoral purposes back when West Virginia only elected Democrats.
Exactly. You didn't get elected in West Virginia unless you had a D after your name. It just did not happen.
And so, you know, if he said, after deep searching, I've realized I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. That's what they always say when they switch in the South. I'm a Republican. And the entire state of West Virginia, Republicans included, would go, well, shit, we knew. We've known it all along.
Yes. No truer words are spoken, Bob. I don't know why he just doesn't go ahead and do it.
Money and power. Oh, okay, I feel much better now. I just got a note from Steve. Steve says, as a member of Tegay, I grant you special dispensation. It matters. Thank you, Steve. Well, I appreciate you calling in. I really do. I really do, Gerald. And I hope this will not be a rare thing. Call in any time that you feel like the spirit is upon you. I mean, just throw your hands up in the air and holler glory and hit the speed dial.
Well, I'm glad you took my call, Bob, and it's good talking to you. I don't know, we just keep fighting the good fight.
It's all we can do. I ain't giving up. I'm not running away.
Neither am I.
I ain't got nowhere left to run to, and you know what? Somebody's got to stand here and keep them from feeling like they've got everybody snookered.
Well,
so you and me and the rest of the Horn Family Commune congregation that inhabit these hills and hollers of West by Cold Virginia stand, if all in the world we can be is a stone in their shoe, then let's be the sharpest, let's be the most grating, let's be the most irritating stone we possibly can.
The one thing that keeps me going is to be there when it all comes around and I can say, I told you so. And I think that's probably what you're looking forward to, too.
Oh, absolutely. Well, before we ring off, I'll ask you one question. Are you familiar with Robert Penn Warren's masterwork, All the King's Men, the book version, not the terrible movies?
No, I'm not.
It would be worth digging around. Look for Willie Stark's Rube's speech.
I'm writing this down.
I mean, I highly recommend I read the book once a year, whether I need to or not. But it's exactly what you're thinking, if I get you right. It's exactly what you're thinking about wanting to say in a year or two.
Perhaps. I will check it out.
Do indeed. Gerald, you have yourself a wonderful evening, and thanks for the conversation.
You too, Bob. Thanks.
Right, bye now. Bye. Calling from the hills and hollers of West By Cole, Virginia, Stan. That was our buddy Gerald from the chat room. I am told by various and sundry that the chat room is rocking. I've been watching it, and it is. And we've got a marvelous good crowd. If you've never been to the chat room, you should really check it out. You'll be met there by Anatole and Benny and Carol Baker and DeBoers and Gerald, who was just on the phone. And Jan and Jerry and Jug of Punch and Kathy and Todd and Kelly and Lance and Michael and Mr. Gibson and R. Kellison and Sentient Being and Texas T and Will from Chicago and our moderators Sparky Dunk and Lottie. And you will be mighty welcome, and you'll have a lovely, lovely, lovely time. And maybe a rousing, raucous, and rowdy one into the bargain. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. And thank you very kindly to Diane. Diane will be receiving a pound of Heritage hand-harvested wild rice from the shores of the pristine waters of northern Wisconsin. And that premium remains on the table if anybody else wants some of it as well. Just shoot me a note and give me the right address to ship it to. You're not going to find anything. Well, this is pretty damned unique. It's awfully unique. Barring that, if you just want to help us keep it all going, then anything via PayPal or the U.S. Postal Service helps precisely in that fashion. The PayPal interface is, of course, at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. It doesn't matter if it's $5, $10, or hell, $10,000. We don't even dare think about things like that. That's just silly. Anyway, so light up the phones if you wish. 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, H-O-R-N, 304-663-4676. Either one of those gets you through just fine. If you want to go Skype to Skype, the contact is Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. However you prefer to do it is fine by me, but it's how we do conversation radio. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is The Horn. We'll be right back.
Inspired by the fact that we seem to be watching not just detectives, but police in their police riots all over the country these days. A little Elvis Costello from way, way, way back when. Let's see. Okay. It being More In Monday and we having oodles of More Ins to go through. Really, Kathy? Looking in the chat room here, Kathy says, Cleveland Cavs wearing warm-up T-shirts reading, I can't breathe. Whew. Wow. I wonder if they'll get death threats like the five Rams players did. Or maybe a stern talking to from Reverend Pastor ex-governor brother Mike Huckstervey. Oh, dear. You know, out there, and I guess there's really no way to drain the swamp of this sort of thing, but out there there's a lower tier of the real, real cutting edge of right-wing fascism in America. And you can frequently find it most toxically displayed by a creep by the name of Stan Solomon. Oh, he's calling people names! Nah, that's just taxonomy, baby. And these right-wingers are all, you know, they're all well-funded. You never hear him saying, you know, Jesus, please, no. Because they've got foundations that keep them going. The right wing is very good at that. And the right wing foundations will also always be happy to provide some sure enough wing nuttery to make sure that the poor guy doesn't just have to sit there, and because most of these guys can't sit there and talk out of their own brains for hours on end. And because they're beholden to the foundations for the foundation's money, they take the foundation's guests. You know the drill. So enter Stan Solomon.
last week. Didn't get to him in the course of the regular week, but you don't just let a gem like this pass. Maybe, you know, maybe the goddess of irony made sure that we held on to this until Moran Monday. Let's check in for probably longer than you'll be comfortable with, and longer than you really want to spend with a hockey puck in your mouth duct taped around your head, but oh well. All we got in common is our misery, and the least we can do is share it, right? Let's check in on a conversation between Stan Solomon, right-wing patriot, and Phyllis Schlafly. Wasn't kidding about the hockey puck. Really wasn't. Really, really.
This policeman, who did absolutely nothing wrong according to the grand jury and according to everyone who looks at the facts, he's been, quote-unquote, fired. He resigned. He gets no severance. He basically has no way to make a living. Where's he going to go and get a job?
Well, they ruined him.
Well, I, by the way, I'll put this plug in. They've got a GoFundMe to give him money. I'm giving him money.
Stan, pro tip. Don't talk about you're going to put a plug in. Goddess of Irony's watching.
I'm going to give him money too.
I hope a million Americans give him $5. Then he doesn't have to work. He could have been killed. He was attacked first. He didn't pull his gun first. Michael Brown, for whatever his reasons, attacked him, hit him, then tried to grab his gun, and the gun went off in the struggle. Michael Brown got hit in the hand only, and then Michael Brown left. And like Trayvon Martin, who was already in his dad's place, he came back. And
wait, Michael Brown came back from Trayvon Martin's dad's place? What?
And wanted more, and that's what happened.
Yes, I grand jury, they're a group of ordinary people, and they spent plenty of time examining everything, both the evidence and the witnesses.
Yeah, they spent plenty of time being misled with bogus laws, having testimony changed from what it had been to what it needed to be in order to make the facts fit. What did we say? What did the Downing Street memo say? Yeah, that. Yeah, they spent plenty of time.
And they came to a conclusion, and that's our system of government, and I think we ought to accept it.
Unless, of course, Phyllis Schlafly, you're complaining about the jackbooted thugs of the government coming to take your guns away, or talking about how the thugs from the federal government were there trying to destroy the rights of poor old Cloven Bundy, in which case you need the Oath Keepers there to put crosshairs on the heads of federal government civil servants. Right? Right.
All right, go ahead, Brent. You disagree.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have in past shows we've discussed.
This is somebody named Brent Johnson, broadcasting live from my mother's basement.
Justice, and with the facts at hand, I have agreed with your contentions here. But there is now evidence, and there are now reports that the grand jury hearing, okay, was corrupted, that the grand jury was not proper.
Oh, hell, you're not coming back on.
It was not properly conducted. It was conducted in an extremely biased manner, if that is true. Now, I wasn't in that room, so I can't say one way or another. But if that is true, if it is true that the grand jury hearing was conducted improperly, then the results of that hearing cannot be used to justify.
It wasn't a hearing, Brent Johnson. It wasn't a hearing. Hearings, even hearings, are adversarial in nature. There were no adversaries in that room. It was not a hearing. Stop it.
The killing of Michael Brown.
Michael Brown was shot.
We haven't heard what that might be.
Oh, dear God. News Ninja Carol Baker just said, oh, for fuck's sake, don't make me pull this car over. I mean it. But the hockey puck part is coming.
Cannot be used to justify the killing of Michael Brown.
Michael Brown was shot.
We haven't heard what that might be.
I'm glad he's dead. He deserves to be dead. He was a thug. He had a lifetime of thuggery, and his dad was a convicted drug dealer. Please.
Yeah, please. I mean, if your dad's a convicted drug dealer, you deserve to be shot on sight. Please. Did you hear that? I'm glad he's dead. He deserves to be dead. Yeah. I'm just taking a moment to let the screaming through the hockey pucks subside.
Now, what their argument is, and I'm a little embarrassed for you here, Brent, in my opinion, the argument was the prosecutor didn't push for an indictment. That's not unusual. It's not the average, but it's not unusual.
Bullshit, it's not unusual. It's like 99.9% of the time unusual. But somewhere out there, you can see thousands of little right-wing heads nodding and bobbing. Yeah, I'm glad he's dead. He deserves to be dead.
The prosecutor said, look, if it was up to me, I would not have even called a grand jury. I just wouldn't have. I'd have done nothing because.
And the thing is, it was up to him, and he didn't do that. He was under no compunction to present the case to the grand jury, save for the fact that he knew there would be a problem if he did not. So instead, he dummied up a grand jury instead, which ain't... Did I? Yeah, I did. I insteaded twice. I apologize. So instead, he used the grand jury as a sort of curtain behind which he hid, and that curtain had, "Justice has been done," scrawled upon it in Jethro Bodine Comic Sans Serif 152 point.
There's no evidence, but he presented all the evidence and let the grand jury decide.
Which is not how you present a grand jury case.
That's what these morons are arguing about.
Morons. Yeah, we're the morons. Also Sprock, moron. Yeah, no way really knowing, Marty. Marty says, I wonder how many of the death threats to the St. Louis Rams players were from cops. And then this. It is, you may recall a call last week from Haley in Arkansas describing the effort to repeal a human rights ordinance in the college town of Fayetteville, Arkansas, home of the Razorbacks. The Fayetteville City Council enacted an ordinance calling for the equal treatment of LGBTQQ people. This has, of course, outraged the upstanding, God-fearing followers of the Prince of Peace, who, in his pronouncements, at least as recorded in the Hagiographical Gospels, said nothing about people wearing dresses, being as how he wore one himself. Sometimes they were long, but maybe in the hot weather, you know, kind of short, show a little leg, you know. Enter Carolyn Long, whom Haley informs me is the former anchor of a really popular news program, maybe one of those Happy Talk programs. Use the whole egg! Enter Carolyn Long. She wants you to understand why it is that the LGBTQQ community is a killing freedom in Fayetteville.
Hello, I'm Carolyn Long. I love Fayetteville. I've lived here for about 25 years. My children have grown up here, so this is home, although I'm not a native. I feel like I am, and I'm just very concerned about this law. I feel like we are all created equal, and that's the way it should be, and I think that...
Yeah, but after the creation, well, you know, bathrooms, right?
unfortunately, this law would give a lot of us, my children, organizations.
What about the children?
Churches, businesses.
It's the rapture. Hide the boy.
I think it would put a lot of pressure to give rights to people of a certain faction. I don't think that that's fair. So
it's not fair to give rights to a people of a certain faction. I mean, if they have rights, then I don't have rights. See, there's only so much rights in the world. And if they've got some, I've got less. See? Children! Wolverine children!
Aside from any of the spiritual issues or faith issues, I think that there are tremendous economic issues.
Because God hates drag queens, right?
Repercussions, and I think that we can look up at other cities in the
nation. Okay. There's issues and there's repercussions, and we can look at other cities, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you what any of those issues and repercussions are, because I really don't know any. I just know that I don't want to see a bunch of men in dresses in the ladies' room, because, you know, that worries me. It does.
That have suffered because of this law.
Suffered.
Very important that
suffering. There is suffering out there because of laws like these that say that you can't just fire somebody for being transgendered. These people suffering. I guess the transgendered person who gets fired for simply being transgendered without regard to whether or not the transgendered person can actually do the damn job, that person isn't suffering. No, that's just murk. God bless it.
No matter what the ordinance. But I urge you to please on Tuesday vote for the repeal of Chapter 119. Thank you.
Yeah. See, that's happening tomorrow. Tomorrow in Fayetteville, Arkansas, they're gonna vote on them some discrimination. Cause see, they done passed them a law that says you can't fire somebody just because you don't like what kind of clothes they wears. And it's destroying freedom. And there's going to be suffering. You got it? Yeah. How about the director of the Family Council Action Committee Council there in Little Rock? Let's see what he got to say.
Hello, I'm Jerry Cox. I'm the director of Family Council Action Committee in Little Rock.
Yeah, you heard that right. Yeah. Goddess of irony. In the air we breathe, the water we drink, everything that surrounds us. Yeah, that's Jerry Cox, who's worried about where the LGBT, where the transgender people go to the potty.
Hello, I'm Jerry Cox. I'm the director of Family Council Action Committee in Little Rock. And I'm for the repeal of Chapter 119. Here's why. This is not just about the city of Fayetteville. This is about the entire state of Arkansas.
Because Hoyt of Fayetteville, Morgan Hot Springs. And no bathroom will be safe. And people like me, Jerry Cox, will have to go back to peeing on dumpsters at 3 o'clock in the morning.
And it's about an agenda that's at work all over the country. The Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest homosexual rights activist organization.
Did you hear the scare quotes? The lay nation's largest homosexual rights organization. Yeah. Like they need rights.
Just opened an office in Little Rock. And they're spending almost $1 million a year.
$1 million? In Arkansas?
To advance the radical agenda that they have all across the country.
Wait, $1 million ain't going to get them much of an agenda all across the country. That's chicken feed to Alec and the Koch brothers and Mr. Edelman and Adelson and that guy that wants women to keep aspirins betwixt their knees. $1 million? Hell, $1 million wouldn't do much for you in Arkansas.
Especially here in Arkansas.
Especially.
And so what's happening here in Fayetteville is part of a much larger effort that's underway to advance a political agenda. It's not about civil rights. It's not about equality.
No, it's not. Even though even though the arguments themselves are grounded in the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, it's not about civil rights and equality. Okay, Jerry Cox. Thank you, Goddess. What's it about? Mr. Douglas, can you get out the fife and drum corps?
It's not about fairness, but it's about advancing a particular agenda that in the long run...
Well, goddamn, that's twice he's mentioned that agenda. I'm on pins and needles here on the edge of my seat and hanging on tenter hooks by my own petard. What agenda?
Run hurts communities, puts children at risk.
Really? How's it put children at risk? Are children not already at risk in Arkansas? How many adoptable youngins do you have in Arkansas? Because, see, I was listening to the SEC championship game on Saturday night between the University of Alabama, Roll Tide, and the University of Missouri, being broadcast live from the Georgia Dome there in Hotlanta. And I was listening because I wanted to hear the play-by-play from the Alabama guy, Eli Gold, on sports. I used to broadcast Eli when they were making him broadcast drag races from out to the Barton Civic Center in beautiful down right next door to Cherokee, Alabama. Actually, Eli Gold on sports. It's burned into my brain. That was a long time ago. But anyway, I wanted to listen to Eli call the game because it's fun. And they ran a PSA explaining that in Alabama standalone, there are 5,000 children in foster care. Okay? 5,000 children in foster care, all of whom would very much like to have a family to call their own via something called adoption. Okay? And they ain't getting adopted, because most of them's probably the wrong skin tone, if you know what I mean. And but no, they're not getting, and so I'm imagining there's probably a couple of thousand foster kids that need some adopting there in Arkansas, but and those children are already at risk. Am I to understand they're going to be more at risk if a person can go to work in a skirt and not get fired?
And overall, it's bad for the economy.
Drag queens are bad for the economy. Transgendered people are bad for the economy. Gay people are bad for the economy. Lesbians are bad for the economy, only they're not. Well, nobody will want to come to school in Fayetteville. I mean, what about good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian parents that want their children to go to Fayetteville like their mommy and daddy did, but they can't go there now because it's all full of the homosexuals and the drag queens?
And so when we look at Fayetteville, we're looking at what it does to the entire state of Arkansas, because the city of Fayetteville, because of the University of Arkansas and other great institutions that are here, really...
It'll be overrun by drag queens!
...belongs to the whole state of Arkansas. People from all over Arkansas...
It's a whole state, all right.
...send their children to school here. They enjoy coming to the ball games here. So
told you we'd get the cheering's going to school there argument. And I don't even have on my faded purple velvet robe with the peeling off appliques of the moons and stars and my magic eight ball with the bottom cracked that always says answer hazy, ask again later. I ain't even got that, and I knowed it was coming.
Forth and so on. And so it's important to the entire state what happens in Fayetteville. Now, let me just say a couple of things that I see this ordinance doing that's not going to be good for Fayetteville and not good for the state of Arkansas. First of all, it puts children at risk. And I don't think we can go too far when it comes to protecting the welfare of our children. And so when it comes to the way our bathroom...
Wait. Oh, he said bathroom. I knew it. God, I knew it. I don't think we can go too far when it comes to protecting our children. could I not? I had to. Okay, let's get back to the bathroom. Okay, that's wrong. I don't think we can go too far when it comes to protecting the welfare of our children. Okay.
Great institutions that are here really belongs to the whole state of Arkansas. People from all over Arkansas send their children to school here. They enjoy coming to the ball games here, so forth and so on. And so it's important to the entire state.
How is it all these important things that he just said he was going to list get reduced to so forth and so on? Doesn't that mean they're kind of not that important after all? Or that he's just making shit up as he goes along? It's one or the other.
Happens in Fayetteville. Now, let me just say a couple of things that I see.
Tell us. Tell us both of them.
This ordinance doing that's not going to be good for Fayetteville and not good for the state of Arkansas. First of all, it puts children at risk. And I don't think we can go too far when it comes to protecting the welfare of our children. And so when it comes to the way our bathrooms are arranged...
No, really. The first thing he can think of when he's thinking about protecting the children is the potty. Not, say, spiral fractures to the legs or arms, or shaken baby syndrome, or starvation, or children beaten with belts and neglected, or. It's how they go to the potty.
In public, to where a person potentially could send a grade school age girl into a restroom and there be a man in there, and
a man. Paul, it's a man!
Somehow he might claim that he has a right to be there.
Well, first of all, if he's in there, he ain't he, he's a she. And all of this kind of devolves down onto your idiotic inability, Jerry Cox, to understand gender beyond something besides penises and vaginas, you fucking freak.
I can't see how that's good for anyone. And so that's just one area that it...
I don't know. Maybe it's good if Precious Lumpkin understands that there's an entire range of gender and that... never mind.
...the impacts. But think about this.
Okay.
If a person is a landlord...
A landlord?
...and they rent out apartments...
Yeah?
...and other facilities for people to live in...
Are there potties?
And they decide that they want to just rent to women or just rent to men.
Well, they can!
They can do that right now. But if this ordinance goes into effect, they won't have that choice.
Bull! They'll still be renting to men or women if that's their choice. Although most landlords I've ever known were interested in renting to people with money. That's who they were interested in renting to. Trans man, trans woman, big damn deal. They're probably more male and more female than a whole bunch of the males in fit because they... Oh, stop it.
And so that's another area.
Another one.
People ought to be concerned about.
Ought to.
And, of course, we're all aware...
All
that
of us.
...the courts are probably on the verge of legalizing same-sex marriage.
Oh, noes.
Right here in Arkansas.
Right there.
The marriage amendment that was passed a few years ago is on the verge of being struck down.
Only because it's a wildly unconstitutional violation of every single precept of freedom that the United States has ever claimed to stand for. I mean, that's the only reason, okay? Oh, screw this guy. Let's go to the phones. Oh, Carol.
At the urging of my fellow chat members.
Yes.
I have taken my medication.
Very good.
Prior to dialing this phone.
Yes. I don't have no medicine, Carol.
I had a very nasty case of Tourette's in the chat room.
Not pull Frazzleck and Frazzleck. Yes, I know.
I had fuckity fuck fuck fucker Tourette's.
I know.
Because he's so worried about transgender people needing to go take a piss in a place where they won't get the shit beat out of them. And I have some bad news for him. They have Catholic priests in Arkansas.
Oops! Oh, you had to go there.
Oh, you damn right I did. If he wants to get religious, let's get religious.
Yeah, absolutely.
How scared is he of controlling his urge to suck another man's dick that he has to come out and trash people that he knows nothing about?
Okay, because I'm a guy and you're a female.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, I'll tell you anything.
Okay, so you know that hypothetical that he laid out there where Precious Lumpkin walks in and sees a man in a dress taking a pee-pee?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be crass here.
No, go ahead.
How many urinals are there in ladies' rooms?
Not a one, and they almost all have doors. Almost. There's maybe in a public park. Maybe in a public park will there be restrooms that don't have doors on the individual stalls. But I'm here to tell you there aren't urinals in women's rooms, in women's restrooms.
Okay, so how's Precious Lumpkin gonna walk into the ladies' room and it's a man in a dress?
Well, Precious Lumpkin won't know the difference, but again...
Well, unless Precious Lumpkin is like, you know... experiencing issues and, you know, peeping around stall doors, right?
It happens. I've had little kids crawl under the stall doors when I was in a public restroom.
But, I mean, our guy's in a dress, right?
And I just smile and say, honey, that's not nice. You need to go.
But, okay, now sometimes Precious Lumpkin does walk into the ladies' room and we'll see somebody affixing of their face, right? I'm sorry, Jerry Cox done dragged me into Arkansas, and I can't get it out of my voice.
Hey, I got news for you. I've had Precious Lumpkin walk in and see me readjusting my boobs and my brassiere. And I doubt seriously if Precious Lumpkins was traumatized by the sight.
Well, I reckon she's probably seen Mama doing that.
Because we women's go into the restrooms and we adjust things too.
Right, whereas we men's just kind of stand out there in public and adjust.
Oh, but that, you rascals.
And we scratch and spit and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Please make me stop being a hillbilly. Make me stop with the voice.
Listen, that first woman that was talking was freaking me out a little bit. Have you ever heard the table?
You mean Lola Jane Eufaula or whatever her name was?
Yeah, Marvelaine, whatever her name is. It just reminds me so much of that tape that I heard of Michelle Bachmann praying in church, and it was creepy as fuck.
Getting better now. Thank you, Carol.
And it was like, oh, precious Jesus. Oh. And I'm like, Marcus, where are your hands? And then I was like, oh, never mind. She's with Marcus.
Guess what, Michelle? That ain't my finger neither.
Gives a whole new meaning to Michelle, smell my finger. But this just makes me insane because they make up the shit about child predators and all the rest of this shit, and it's like they have nothing to back up what they're saying.
Well, no, I am really not kidding, Carol. I am sure as I am that the Earth will rotate. This part of the Earth will rotate into the light of the sun tomorrow. I am sure that there is no small percentage of children in foster care in Arkansas who have been victims of child sexual predation, child rape, child sexual abuse. Child, you know, pick any horror you wish. And you know what? I'll bet you less than 0.1% of those abuses were perpetrated by a transgendered individual or a gay individual or a lesbian individual. You get my point.
Sucker bet.
Yeah, you won't take it.
I won't take it because I know better.
Did you know the number's lower?
I know it's way lower. I know it's way lower. They have perpetrated this lie against the LGBTQ community for years that these people are just child predators, and it's not true. The incidents are so infinitesimal compared to what straight people do to kids. It's so next to zero.
And if you come back, Carol, to the essential ground upon which these fools insist on fighting, this was actually an historic moment in which the city council of Fayetteville, Arkansas, behaved in an entirely rational, mm-hmm. humane, decent, and constitutional fashion. You'll notice they're not challenging the constitutionality of the ordinance in court.
Not at all.
They are rather using, and see, this is one of those democracy moments.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those moments that reminds me, Carol, of why Plato hated democracy.
Yes.
You know, it was the Athenian democracy that murdered Socrates on a charge of corrupting the youth and defaming the gods.
Oh, yeah. I was a huge fan of Socrates.
Well, this is essentially that. Okay, this is the same claim. And mm-hmm. this is a use of a democratic process for purposes of bigotry enacted via democratic mob rule. Because I maintain no illusions, okay? Maybe if Haley wants to, Haley can disabuse me. But I maintain no illusions. I figure tomorrow, because the reason I'm bringing this up is they're going to the polls too damn morrow
mm-hmm.
to vote on this. That given a chance, given a chance to put democracy in action, oh, damn that voice, the people will flood the polls in order to make sure that Precious Lumpkin never has to see a guy in a dress. But you know what? Precious Lumpkin is going to see a guy in a dress, and Precious Lumpkin is going to see women wearing flannel shirts and blue jeans and Doc Martens or Birkenstocks or whatever. And people are, and you know what? People are all, Precious Lumpkin is also going to go to church, Carol. And Precious Lumpkin is going to see people there in their Sunday best who, if they saw them at their Sunday worst, would probably leave a few more images in Precious Lumpkin's little psyche a hell of a lot more damaging than a woman using a jigsaw on a 2x4.
The real child abuse is taking place under that steeple.
Damn right. Damn right. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Sparky, you're correct. Hang on.
I really had to get a hold of myself before I made this call.
Well, I mean, not that I'm crawling up on the cross, because I know we all need the wood, but I've been watching, because if you go to their little Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
there's a whole page. I didn't get to the bishop. I didn't get to him. I didn't get to the guy who says, well, I'm an atheist and I hate drag queens, too. There's a whole page full of these freaks.
And the truth of the matter is the drag queens are always going to be, well, and I hate that freaking word, drag queens. They're not drag queens. They're cross-dressers or transgenders or...
There's a whole continuum.
But the fact is, if they use the restroom that these people want them to use, they will be beaten senseless. Somebody's going to get killed. And I think that's...
I figure in a place like Fayetteville, that's already happened once or twice or a million times.
But that's their mission. They want them killed. And these people aren't going to the bathroom to find a victim. All they want to do is fucking pee. God damn it.
Well, okay, and let's take a step back off the ledge, Carol. Because I'm a giver, too. Let's also understand that these freaks have made it... they've made it about the potty because for some reason or another, that is where the essence of these people's religious convictions reside. This is really about whether or not, because see, this ordinance takes in everybody. It's really about whether you have a right to be able to simply be a human being doing a job in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and not be fired for how somebody else perceives you. Okay? I mean...
Merry Christmas, shitter's full.
Well, I mean... How do I address this? There, players in the NFL wear pants that are tighter than the leggings that women wear during cold weather.
Uh-huh.
But nobody's out there questioning even God-fearing, Bible-believing Philip Rivers. Nobody's out there questioning his sexuality.
That's football, and ain't nothing more American than football. Don't you say nothing bad about football.
See? I mean, that's their football clothes. It ain't like they wear it. Damn it, the voice is back. Ain't like they wear it every day.
Screw you.
Well, yeah, they do, because they go to practice. and I mean, I ain't trying to use our bathrooms. Jesus Christ, how much more devolution do we need? Really, this is, because see, there was a time in America, Carol, and I know you know this, and everybody in the Horn Family Commune Congregation knows this. There was a time in America when Jerry Cox, God, thank you, Jesus, when Jerry Cox was out there in, or maybe Jerry Cox's granddaddy was out there in Arkansas saying, we can't let them people be a using of our potties. Them's white potties.
Jerry just needs to show us where the bad man touched him in his nutty place, and then we can have a reasonable conversation about this. Because that's what this is about.
Is it so prevalent, Carol, you think, that all of these weirdos have some sort of issue way back there?
Yes. Yes. I do. And it wasn't a guy in a dress.
Unless the dress was like one of those dresses that priests wear.
Those are called...
cassocks.
Cassocks, yes. And I'm here to tell... I don't care what they say. There are Catholic priests in Arkansas. And I promise you, those Catholic priests in Arkansas have molested a hell of a lot more fucking kids than any guy wearing a dress who needs to take a piss ever did. Sorry, I just went all Brooklyn on you.
No, that's okay. I just can't keep up with Brooklyn. I mean, it's beyond me. See what I did there?
I saw what you did there.
Or heard. So, you know, probably tomorrow night for Titanic Tuesday, we will be talking about how Precious Lumpkin is finally safe again in Fayetteville, Arkansas, from ever having to see a man... standing at the mirror, a touching up of his makeup. But see, that's where that's something I said a few minutes ago that needs to be said twice. A trans woman ain't a man. And that is the essential thing that these people can't quite get their itsy bitsy tiny little mustard grain seed sized brains around. I mean, if God created you with a penis, then a penis you shall have. And you know, the fact of the matter is, there is a continuum of gender. But the fact of the matter is, if you are at the point where you are living full time, what is it called? It's called the real world test or whatever. If you're doing that, you're pretty well committed. And it's not even a commitment. It's simply a recognition that that is the gender that you are. And so, Precious Lumpkin, no matter how many skirts, no matter how many dresses, no matter how many pairs of leggings, no matter how high the goddamn heels, Precious Lumpkin is never, ever, 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 Carol, going to see a man in the ladies' room.
No. No, and I got to tell you, that kid is never going to know the difference and wouldn't think anything of it if Jerry Cox... wasn't making such a big goddamn deal about it.
I mean, let's say that a miracle happens tomorrow, Carol, and the voters turn away these bigots. Well,
that would be a miracle.
You know what's going to happen. The Jerry Coxes of the world and Marvelline Ufala there that we heard from first, they're going to be sitting there talking to their children, and they're going to say, "Now, honey, if you see a man in the girl's room, I want you to tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he touch you?"
Exactly. It will trump something up.
And by the way, this is the same crowd that wants the Ten Commandments every time you turn around. Courthouse, school, church, the Rippy Quickie Mart, whatever. Got to see the Ten Commandments. And somewhere down there, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And oddly enough, this entire campaign is comprised of nothing but bearing false witness against their neighbors. They want to pee pee in our bathrooms, and when they do, they want to corrupt our precious lumpkins.
Well, I can only give this one sage piece of advice to Jerry Cox. Stop resisting the urge, because I'm here to tell you, it ain't so bad.
Just be you. Just be
suck
you.
That cock. It ain't so bad.
Go up and give some man a big old kiss. Tongue and everything. just a lollygag and smolic all over him. That's okay. He probably already has. He's probably got Chet Haggard on speed dial.
Damn it, I had coffee in my mouth.
I told you the other morning it hurts when you shoot it right out your nose.
It really does. I try to get you on that as often as I can.
Oh. But, you know, we get to find out by no later than prayer meeting Wednesday, so, you know, it becomes a self-writing program.
But I'm feeling better. I'm better. I got that out. I'm feeling better.
Let's see. Oh, no. Can we check in with one more before you go?
Oh, hell yeah.
Because this is Charles Flowers, Sr., pastor of Faith Outreach Center International. Got your hockey puck?
Let me tell you, I just broke 3 teeth off on the last one to hit it.
You're going to hate me.
Hello, my name is Charles Flowers, and I'm the senior pastor of Faith Outreach Center International in San Antonio, Texas. And I am for the repeal of Chapter 119.
Wait a minute. What the? He's from San Antonio? What the? Okay, stop it. Wait. No, let him go.
I oppose this ordinance on the basis of association. The homosexual, lesbian, gender-confused community is riding on the back of civil rights, claiming to be an extension of the civil rights movement. This is not a legitimate extension. I repeat, it is not a legitimate extension of the civil rights movement. Dred Scott decision in 1857 forbade minority people, mainly blacks, from participating as citizens of the United States.
No, it said you weren't a citizen, brother. It said you weren't even fully human, which is kind of what they're arguing in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So there we have Charles Flowers Sr. from San Antonio, Texas, and I'm just God, what the hell is he doing in Fayetteville? Let's check in real quick with Pastor. Okay. That was the son. This here's the daddy.
Oh dear God, like a haggy.
They breed.
Vote for the repeal of Ordinance 5703, Chapter 119, because it allows biological males to use women's restrooms, showers, and locker rooms. It criminalizes businesses that stand on religious convictions. It opens businesses and churches to lawsuit and hiring. And it is an affront to civil rights because there is no comparison to what blacks have suffered in this nation, from slavery to Dred Scott to lynching to segregation.
Except for the fact that, well, once upon a time, and that's enough from Pastor Charles, except for the fact that once upon a time, folks with darker colored skins wasn't allowed to use the potty, like y'all want to keep transgendered people from using the potty.
And got to hang from trees.
And then there's Matthew Shepard, who got crucified on a barbed wire fence. Now, that is also that is occasionally referred to as a lynching.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't drink because it's part of the plea deal.
No fair.
Got ya.
That's okay. I'll take two hits off the swirly straw, and one will be for you.
There you go.
Swirly straw in a fruit jar. My therapy.
Oh, boo-boo.
Oh, God. Well, Carol, thank you for... you don't realize you did it, but you talked me down. The laugh alone was worth picking up the phone. Hey, that rhymes.
Oh, Bob.
Oh, I got the... I got the Betty Rubble laugh. Oh.
I owed ya.
Oh. Hi, Barbie. Oh, Jesus. Because I know she loves that giggle as much as the rest of us do.
She laughs exactly the same way.
No, we can have it in stereo.
We can have it in stereo. We were in the grocery store one day and got the giggle so bad, and...
You laugh better than Anderson Cooper.
She does, too. She does, too. We're like Twinkies.
Oh, two to a package.
I'm telling you.
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to save it for something really, really special sometime. We'll get you one on one line and one on the other, and we'll have it in. And I'll use my magic little knobs, and I'll pan one to the left, and we'll pan one to the right, and we will have you in full Pink Floyd stereo separate, and I'll just go back and forth. And the next thing you know, people will be like, oh, dude.
It's true. It's true. We're going to do this. I'm going to get her on the phone. I'm going to get her. I'm going to figure out how to get her dialed in remotely. If I have to, and you're going to talk to her, and I'm telling you, it's like you won't know one from the other, except she's got a little bit more of a, because she's lived in Iowa all of her life, she's got a little bit more of that almost Minnesota sound.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, not quite that, but you'll get it. You'll get it.
Okay.
But well, that's the only way you can tell us apart, the Baker girl.
Well, bless your heart, and I mean that in the good way, not the somebody dropped you on your head when you was born way.
Not the I will bitch slap you and then make you a casserole way.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Green beans not required. Carol Baker, have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too. Thanks, Bob.
Take care.
Bye now.
News Ninja Carol Baker, who can always make me feel a little bit better. Sometimes, well, who am I kidding? A lot better. Let's wrap things up. Kind of got to. By the way, thank you, thank you, Haley, via Twitter. F an epic takedown of Jerry Cox. And thank you, Kayla. Love this last hour of More and Monday. Thankfully, Carol was already hot enough to call in for me. So we'll pick things up again tomorrow with Titanic Tuesday. Oh, Lord, yes, we will. Fundraising update. Thank you. Thank you, Diane in Kansas, Stan. A pound of hand-harvested heritage wild rice will be winging its way to you. And that leaves us in a $50 hole for the beginning of the second week of December. But thank God it's not a $150 hole, because those things are a booger, and they grow real fast. Anybody that wants to close out that little hole is more than welcome to that $50 affair. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy, moderators in the Horn chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you, Cold River Mountain Watch, the hardest-working, bravest people I know. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.